He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning, November the 15th. It is the live edition of the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Today it's Best Stocks Now because we have a pretty big jump out of the gate after the lighter than expected PPI report. Okay, the PPI is the producer price index. And, of course, last Thursday we saw a lighter-than-expected CPI report. And right now the Dow is up 344. Kind of been a seesaw battle here recently. Yesterday we ended down over 200. Today we're up 344, 33,881. S&P is up 66 right now. It's up 1.7%. The NASDAQ is up 278, 2.5%. Russell 2000 up 1.5%. Crude oil down $1.11 today on news out of China. Crude oil down 1.3%. Gold is down 60 cents, basically flat on the day. Silver is up 28 cents. We've got the 10-year yield backing off again on this lighter-than-expected PPI report at 3.82. And the beleaguered Bitcoin today is up 306, but it's currently sitting at 16,939. So welcome to today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We're here in Florida, broadcasting live from Sarasota. Barry may join us later, but he's already had a few appointments here this morning. Nice day here in the Florida area, as always. We're happy to be here and meet with our Florida folks. Well, yesterday, you know, when I left for the airport, the market was up. It was doing pretty good. It was up a couple hundred points. And then I guess towards the end of the day, we had a little bit of problems or Fed speak. Okay, Fed speak always impacts the markets greatly. And that Fed speak kind of sent the markets down. The Dow ended down 200 yesterday, and the NASDAQ was down 127. And that was after that big massive rally on Thursday and Friday, which I still see a lot of evidence that there was a lot of short covering in that rally. Now, if we can continue to get inflation under control, the market could definitely put in a bottom here. And in fact, we've got a few calls today of a potential bottom in the market here. It looks like the NASDAQ 10,300 is kind of the magic number right now for the NASDAQ. And the S&P 500, let's see, where is that magic number right now? That support level, you know, kind of 3,600, I guess, 3,600. Yeah, right in that 3,600 area. Of course, the S&P today is up above 4,000 again. It's up 23 points above that 4,000 level. There's a lot of news in the market today. The biggest news. Okay, so let's look at the core producer price index. Well, there was inflation. Okay, the PPI came in at 0.2, but the consensus was for a rise of 0.5. And when we look at the core PPI, it came in at zero. So that's a good number, and that has the market all excited here today. I think we're still looking at three more 50 basis point hikes. They have signaled that they might be able to slow down. I think that 75 basis point prediction for December probably very unlikely. I think that the odds of that are almost nil right now, and people now looking for a slowdown in interest rate hikes, okay, a deceleration from those 75 basis point hikes to just 50. But as I said in my newsletter over the weekend, I think the market was expecting a 75, a 50, and a 25 over the next three Fed meetings. Instead, it looks like we're going to get three 50s, which still adds up to 150 basis points higher than where we're sitting at right now. We've got some earnings reports that have come in. But now the big question is, and this was the question that I asked in my newsletter this past week, has inflation peaked? Well, okay. I mean, your biggest inputs, energy prices, probably have kind of leveled off here. Oil is right around $85 right now. Got up to $92 here recently. It remains a kind of a tricky market, kind of volatile. Saudi Arabia warning of less demand. They see less demand coming next year, meaning that they see a slowdown in the economy. China remains a big wild card with their COVID on-again, off-again restrictions. You've got the food component, which you see that at the grocery store. Has that peaked? And then, of course, you've got the shelter component, which a lot of people still think that we've got a ways to go before rent prices, especially rent prices, start to slow down. And then the last component, which is really sticky, the unemployment. You know, the unemployment rate remains very low, and wage pressure continues to favor the workers right now. There's still a shortage of workers. It's hard to get help, so that could continue to keep inflation going for quite some time. But let's just say it has moderated somewhat this month. And you had the Fed people talking yesterday. Federal Reserve Vice Chair Lael Brainard said it'll probably be appropriate soon for the Fed to slow the pace of interest rate increases. And most people interpret that, going from those 75 basis point hikes to 50 basis point hikes. Traders have increasingly raised their bets for a 50 basis point increase in December at the December 13th, 14th meeting in a less aggressive move when compared with the Fed's 75 basis point hikes at its previous four meetings. You know, I've almost lost track. We've had four 75 basis point hikes in a row, which obviously adds up to 3%. And we've seen huge moves in the mortgage rate. We've seen huge moves downwards in the bond market, and we've seen huge moves upward in interest rates. But maybe things are finally starting to moderate somewhat. Now, the other question is the market getting ahead of itself? Is the market a little bit too exuberant here? Well, yesterday we had Fed Governor Christopher Waller. He said that the market got ahead of itself after the CPI report. Well, then it's getting ahead of itself again today, I suppose, after the PPI report. We have a good report from Walmart. You know, Walmart had a disastrous earnings report last quarter. This quarter, that's part of the big move in the Dow today. Walmart is right now up 6.9%. after smashing earnings expectations. And, you know, it's kind of outside the box a little bit. We had really poor reports from Amazon and other retailers. But Walmart, I guess, did a lot of right things over the last 90 days. They jumped in the pre-market, the shares jumped in the pre-market trading after topping estimates with this Q3 earnings report. Now, here's the important part. And boosting full-year profit guidance. Okay. Revenue was up 9.8% on a constant currency basis, The retailer reported U.S. comparable sales rose 8.2% in Q3 to top the consensus. Notably, the Bentonville Giant noted share gains in the U.S. grocery market during the quarter and an improvement with inventory position. Here's my takeaway. I think with the inflation issue, you're going to go price shopping. You're not going to pay $4.98 for a piece of mozzarella cheese at one of the higher-priced supermarkets. You're going to go to Walmart, where you know you're going to get the lowest price. Maybe not the best quality, but the lowest price. So anyways, Walmart's quarter sales up 9%, which really, I mean, that's a blowout quarter. Walmart's a 3% grower. Sales up 9%. Earnings up 3%, okay, up 3%. Margins still pretty thin at Walmart, but it's that big sales number that's got the stock going up 6.8% right now. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, broadcasting live from beautiful Sarasota. It doesn't even look the same anymore. I've been coming down here for, I don't know, many, many years, and there's a lot more high-rises, a lot more condos, a lot more of these traffic circles, okay? If you're a fan of traffic circles, just a little kind of hard to navigate right now because they continue to do a lot of construction down here. But there's no question it's a beautiful place to be here today. All right. Well, I just wanted to look at Walmart quickly in the Best Stocks Now app. Okay. Walmart is obviously a major discount retailer. It's a bellwether for the sector, for the retail sector. I don't know of a better bellwether other than movement within the retail sector. You know, a lot of times you see movement from, especially as the economy starts to slow down, you see movement away from some of the high-end retailers to the lower-end retailers, and I think Walmart might be on the receiving end of that right now. It's a $375 billion company. We call that a mega cap, and it's in the dividend and growth profile in my app. And in order to qualify for the dividend and growth profile, it needs to have a dividend. And the dividend yield right now on Walmart is 1.6%. Okay, now, I spent many years studying both of the different disciplines in the market, value investing and momentum investing, okay? Value investing looks at valuations. It looks at ratios. It looks at P.E. ratios. It looks at forward P.E. ratios. It looks at PEG ratios. Momentum investing looks more at performance of the stock versus other stocks. We call that relative strength or lack thereof. Let's look at Walmart real quickly here from a valuation point of view. It's currently trading at a P.E. ratio of 27.63. So it's not cheap, all right? The forward P.E. ratio is 23.6. We've seen in the market this year the forward P.E. of the S&P 500 drop from 23 to 17. Okay, so that's the average stock in the S&P 500. Walmart is well above the S&P 500 P.E. ratio. It's at 23, while the market's closer to 17. Then you always compare the forward P.E. ratio, which is 23, with the estimated growth rate over the coming years. Walmart's a low single-digit grower. We've got three Walmarts two Walmarts, I guess, in our neighborhood, within, you know, within 5 miles, I suppose, of our house. It's kind of hard to really expand Walmart, you know, at a pace. 5% is what the analysts expect. So you've got a stock trading at 23 times forward earnings, an annual growth rate of 5%. Peg ratio's very high, 5.1. My calculation on the target price for Walmart 5 years from now is $174. That's a really important part of that Best Stocks Now app, is that five-year target price. Because I look at the upside potential on Walmart and I see 33.7 over the next 5 years. That's very mediocre. I like 80% or more. So the value grade on Walmart is an F. It's an F, okay? It's not exactly a screaming value here. The turkeys for Thanksgiving may be a screaming value at Walmart, but the stock is no screaming value. Yeah, you know, first, it was a big beneficiary of COVID. And second, it's a very popular stock. So it's never going to be a cheap stock. Now, let's look at the performance of Walmart, okay? So far this year, Walmart is only down 4.4%. The S&P is down 17%. Last year, however, the S&P was up 27% and Walmart was flat. I get a momentum grade on Walmart of C, performance grade of C, momentum grade of B-. So overall, Walmart's ranked at 2,141 out of 6,026. I have it as a hold in the Best Stocks Now app. So I just thought I'd go through that. It's been a while since I've gone through all the really important. I go through the app every day. I have the app in spreadsheet form, which I like to do because I can do some sorts and whatnot, and I can see a lot more data at the same time. And I totally depend on it. Okay, well, I'm in Florida. What will Donald Trump, supposedly tonight is the night, that he is going to announce his intentions. What is your guess? Will he again run? That's the expectations, that he'll be announcing his re-election bid. Now, I'm just going to say, I've talked to a lot of people before the elections, after the elections, recently, currently. I just get a real sense of Trump fatigue. Okay? I'm just telling you, boots on the ground, my ears wide open. That's what I'm hearing. There's a lot of Trump fatigue. Home Depot, hurdles, Q3 expectations. Okay, one of the great stocks of all time, obviously. Home Depot's got kind of a tepid reaction, however, to their earnings. It's only up 1% as their inventory builds. That seems to be an issue at a lot of the retailers. Home Depot, currently in the Best Stocks Now app, is probably ranked about where Walmart is. It's ranked at 890. So Walmart's 2,141. Home Depot, 890 out of 6,026. It gets a B and a strong hold ranking. Okay. So nothing too exciting there with Home Depot, which is another one. It's a single-digit grower. Sales up 6%, earnings up 8%, single-digit grower. It's not the massive grower that it was in the early days, but they did report an okay quarter here. Okay, now the question is, has the market put in a bottom? Was last Thursday and Friday the bottom that everybody's been looking for? You know, as of about Thursday of last week, the NASDAQ was down 28%, a nauseating 28%. Well, I'll just say this. It's too soon to tell. And when we come back, we'll go through that. We'll go through the NASDAQ, the S&P, and the Dow, maybe this is the best attempt that the market's made at a bottom, but I'm not so sure right now that there's enough evidence to call a bottom in the market. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Wow, we've had a wild ride in the markets here recently. It was, let's see, Tuesday was kind of flat last week, a week ago. It was Election Day. The elections didn't go quite the way the analyst had predicted, and the market was down 600 points the next day on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, that was a wild day. The CPI came in a little bit less than expected. It was 7.7 instead of 7.9. And, man, I'll tell you what, the cork came off the champagne bottle, and we had fireworks everywhere. A heck of a lot of short covering involved there. And by the time it was over, the Dow was up 1,200 points that day. All right? Then you had a decent day on Friday, a pretty good follow-through. Then yesterday we had the market up 200, it closed down 200. And then today we have a better-than-expected PPI report, and we have some decent earnings reports, and we have another good day in the market. So I will say this, there's been more good days here recently than there have been bad days, which is kind of reversing a trend where we've had we've had a great majority of bad days in the market here in 2022. And if you put it in perspective, I mean, this is the worst year in the market since 2008-2009, with the NASDAQ down about 28-27% so far this year. Now, let's look at a chart of the NASDAQ, all right? What do I see? Well, I've seen the NASDAQ attempt to make a bottom now, 1, 2, 3, 4 times this year. This is the fourth time, okay? We had a bottom recently back in June at 10,500, let's call it 10,600, okay? We went from 16,000 down to 10,600. Massive, major damage was done in the NASDAQ from last fall until late summer of this year. And if you go into the more aggressive side of the NASDAQ, you saw more of a 50 to 60% sell-off. The NASDAQ itself was more about a third, 33%. Okay, then the NASDAQ bottoms out at 10,600 in late June, and it rallies up to 13,181. You had about a 25% rally. But you're still only at 13,000. You're still 3,000 points below the all-time high. And, you know, the NASDAQ and the markets actually, they reversed their downward trends at that point in time. And I said, just from a technical point of view, that we've got a new uptrend underway. The question is, how long will it last? It didn't last very long, because once we got to 13,000, guess what? The NASDAQ went right back down to where it was. It went through another sickening 13,000 down to 10,500, about a 20% drop once again. So we have to call that rally in late June. It was a bear market rally, which, you know, as a primary trend is going downhill, you will have those little uphill climbs like we had back in June and July, and then you start going downhill again, and that's what happened. And in fact, we undercut that low We got clear down to 10,000, really close to 10,000 here just a few weeks ago. And now we're trying to climb that hill again. From my perspective, at least as of right now, we're currently in the midst of another bear market rally, okay? That's just speaking from a technical point of view. Now, the second part of the equation is the earnings picture. And if you didn't get my newsletter on Friday and Saturday, I sent it out late Saturday. Man, I spent a lot of time. I just felt like this is the end of earnings season. We've got 90% of the earnings reports in the books for the third quarter of 2022. We've got some really clean numbers by now on those 500 stocks that make up the S&P 500. Not only do we have clean numbers of where they're going to finish this year, which comes to a close in 6 weeks, but we have a really good picture into what they've said about the coming year and a little bit about the year after that. So I really spent a lot of time honing in on those numbers and distilling it down to what we call the S&P 500 earnings estimates and a target price. And I feel really good now about where I am at with the earnings estimates going forward for the S&P 500. Now, put this in perspective. In 2009, the earnings bottomed at $60 per share. Now, remember the 2 years prior to that, we were up around $90, $100 per share in 2007, and then the earnings expectations started to go down. That was a big warning sign. When I see earnings top out, expectations that is, and start to level off, top out, and start to head down the hill, that's not good. I mean, you do not want to own stocks in a falling earnings environment, because earnings drive the market. The direction of earnings, and more importantly, earnings expectation, determines where the market is headed. When those expectations are lowered, the market goes lower. When those expectations are raised, the market goes higher. Well, I can just tell you from a general point of view, my observations, we've seen a downwards drift in the earnings estimates for next year and the year after that now for probably the last several months. Now, have they finally settled in? Are they going to still go lower? Well, I would just say from an earnings point of view, the risk-to-reward ratio right now in the market is not that great. If Goldman Sachs is right, there's not going to be any earnings growth next year. And if the market is currently trading at about a 17 to 18 multiple, then you've got a fairly priced market here. And what it's going to take to raise that earnings estimate for next year, that target price, would be for companies to start coming in, like Walmart, which beat earnings. They raise guidance by a little bit, but not enough to move the needle. So I would just say, you have to still be very, very cautious in this market. This is not a time to go running back into the ARK funds. It's not a time to go running back into the NASDAQ-type stocks. Looking at the sectors of the NASDAQ right now, the most encouraging sector I see, and it usually does lead the NASDAQ one way or another, are the semiconductor stocks. But having said that, I have to believe that a lot of the move last week, late last week, in those chip stocks like NVIDIA and AMD, I'm just afraid that it was a lot of short covering. And I'm afraid that NVIDIA, which has come down from, it's been cut in half. NVIDIA has been cut in half. I'm just not so sure that we're at a bottom yet. Okay, so that's my take. There's others that disagree with me. But from a technical point of view, just looking at the charts, you don't want to get caught in another rally, which was very encouraging. We had one earlier this year, took the NASDAQ from 10,000 back to 13,000, and then guess what? It turned the corner and went right back down to 10,000 and even undercut the previous low.
Okay, well, there's some firms out there that disagree. There's a company out there, GTA. They say that the October low is the short and the intermediate term bottom that won't be retested anytime soon. So they disagree with me. Well, okay. That's fine. That's what makes it a market. Okay, another thing that is just a little bit disturbing, did you hear what Jeff Bezos had to say yesterday? Bezos, on the one hand, he's going to give all of his wealth away. So I don't know where you send a letter to be a recipient of that wealth. He plans on donating the bulk of his $124 billion fortune. But he also advised Americans. Now, I'm just thinking that this guy's got a pretty good finger on the pulse of the U.S. economy, running the biggest retail giant ever invented. And what's he saying? He's saying, take risk off the table. He's advising Americans to take risk off the table and keep some powder dry on hand against a deteriorating macro backdrop. That comes from the fourth richest man in the world. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, live from Sarasota. I was just here a couple weeks ago, and it's to be back all right. But we haven't actually met with folks down here since COVID. It's nice to see the world back to normal a little bit. All right, now, I see some things I like in the market today. I see some things I don't like in the market today. A lot of it similar to what I saw on Thursday and Friday. You got to think, too, about the psychology of the market. If you've got people that are way, way down on stocks and some of the more speculative areas of the market, and you get a big rally like you got Thursday and Friday, you're going to see a lot of people saying, wow, I'm just glad I'm getting out here at a better price. There's still a lot of that down there in that area of the market. That's called overhead resistance. And until that all leaks out and is gone and kind of washed out, that's when you start getting some decent accumulation taking place in the market. I'm not seeing that yet, okay? I'm seeing more like I'm just glad to get out at this level type action in the market, at least right now, okay? Well, hopefully it improves here. A couple other stocks in the news here today. Warren Buffett's making quite a splash. He's buying a semiconductor, heavy buying of Taiwan Semiconductor. Well, we wrote that one up in Seeking Alpha quite some time ago. And then, of course, the wheels fell off the bus there in Taiwan Semiconductor with all of the trouble in the semiconductor industry. Mostly it was supply constraints, the supply chain. And then, of course, you had China, just kind of shaking their finger there a little bit at Taiwan, don't you dare. And Taiwan back, Nancy Pelosi getting involved, don't you dare. And it just seemed like I didn't want to get involved in Taiwan Semiconductor, even though it's one of the biggest foundry. I think it's the biggest foundry in the world. They are building a big plant in Arizona, but Warren Buffett has been taking a big stake that came out yesterday. It's up 11.6% today, okay? I will say this. I mean, it's a value stock. There's no question about it. The P.E. ratio right now is 13 on Taiwan Semiconductor. It's half the P.E. multiple of Walmart. And it's a 20% grower, while Walmart's a 5% grower. So, I mean, I like it. Yeah, great from a valuation point of view. I just worry a little bit about continued supply constraints. Apparently it's getting better, number one. Number two, the issues the chip companies are having doing business with China. And number three, obviously they're involved in a little bit of a geopolitical risk there.
in China. Now, I don't think China wants to go in and wipe out Taiwan and all their industries and businesses, but they'd surely like to take them over like they did with Hong Kong. So we'll just see. But I just wanted you to know that Taiwan Semiconductor being bought, not the whole company, but shares of it by Warren Buffett. It's one of the big movers in the market today. Okay. I'm seeing more short interest. I'm seeing more short covering coming out of the market today. I'm seeing ARK Funds, for instance, is up 4.66%. Keep in mind that last Thursday and Friday, it was up 22% in 2 days when that CPI number came out. And TARC, which is 2 times ARK, it's ARK on steroids, it was up 51%. On Thursday and Friday. Now, you can't tell me that that was not a lot of short selling there, covering their shorts, or, mostly short covering. And now ARK today is up 4.4% today. It got whacked pretty good yesterday, a lot of profit taking. And then just step back and look at a chart of ARK. It's horrible. It hit a new low, 5-year low, I think, just 4 days ago. So it's hard for me to believe that all of a sudden it's mostly been, a product of all of a sudden you had these falling interest rates, which to me is temporary. They're down about 35. CPI report, and that's holding a lid on interest rates. We're at 3.81 today, but we were up around 4.25 here recently. And the yield curve continues to point to the high likelihood of a recession next year in 2023. So I am not going to go running into ARK Funds. I owned them in 2020, and I have no interest in them here now. Another fund like ARK, Moonshot. Moon's up 4.5%. Tesla's up 4.4% today. Fanged has been the big one of the big ETFs this year because it's 3 times short Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google, etc. Now it's the other side of Fanged, FNGU, FANGU. It's up 10.8% today. Have all of a sudden the tide turned on the FANG stocks. When you've got the CEO of Amazon, I'm just trying to weigh everything out here for you, present the evidence, saying it's time to take chips off the table. At the same time, you've got Meta, which has just been a mess here recently. And you got Amazon doing, I think, 10,000, they're laying off 10,000 people. Okay, the Chinese stocks are doing well today. That's the problem with China. At any moment in time, they can crack down on COVID. They can release the restrictions on COVID. They can juice their economy, put stimulus in their economy. They can crack down on their economy. Today, you're getting pretty good action. Okay, let's just take Data, for instance, which is kind of a Chinese web company, e-commerce. They do business with Walmart. Data was $61 a share. It's now $5 a share, but it's up 18% today. I have to believe that there's a lot of short covering there in that stock. All right, anything else? Yeah, there's one other one that surely smacks of short covering. C Limited out of Singapore, up 33% today after hitting a new low just 3 or 4 days ago. So, yeah, I'm not convinced that the bottom is in yet. I still own a lot of stocks. We still own a few inverse funds. I'm still playing it kind of on the cautious side right now, all right? Well, if you'd like to get the newsletter, 855-611-BEST, look at my numbers. I feel like these are the numbers right now for 23, 24, and we can be pretty comfortable with the multiple we're using. Here's your upside potential in the S&P. Weigh your risk-to-reward ratio here. If you'd like to make an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.